You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Anything interesting happened with Kanye this weekend?
I don't know.
He was at Art Basel selling Gimp outfit, the breathable Alex Jones collection out of the trunk of his car during Art Basel.
Chris Paul with an all-time stray.
It is. For those of you who do not know, Stugatz, do you know any of what we're talking about when he says Chris Paul with an all-time stray?
Nope.
Well, we'll get to that later in the show. Let's talk about the Dolphins.
All right.
Chris Cody sadly shaking his head over there and...
No. Just, I'm fine.
You should
perspective.
Be.
I'm keeping it.
Yep.
And you should keep it.
That's
you
not us.
You should keep your perspective.
That's not who we are that game. We played a good team. That's
it's
not
also
us.
Not who the Niners are.
Well, you shouldn't
be using...
I mean,
they're great defensively.
You shouldn't be using we. I don't know. It is.
Why not?
It is who you are.
The Niners are Brock Purdy.
That defense is damn good.
Yeah, the defense is damn good, and it's very difficult to match up against.
It was, okay, it's been overrated how good the 49ers defense was in that game, though. Tua just missed throws. It was not he was under a barrage of pressure. It was not Nick Bosa ruined his life. It was not the backup offensive tackles were, you know, allowing Tua to get crushed. It was Tua missed throws. The offense functioned, and he just missed throws, which, by the way, is okay. Because he's proven this year that he's a very good quarterback and can lead this offense to success. He just had a bad game. It's okay.
One slightly alarming thing that Dan Orlovsky said as I was driving in this morning is that Tua has been so far this season the best in the NFL with his eyes. That he says hike, he looks one way just to get the defense to move one way, opens up space somewhere else. And the Niners yesterday kind of game planned that and said, we know that you're going to look somewhere first. We're staying here. And like Fred Warner a few times played him and was basically like, I know you're just looking over there. So that's like an adjustment that the Niners made that I think Tua now needs to adjust back.
Maybe that's Shanahan knowing something because he knows the offense, knows what the quarterback wants to do. I heard that same analysis where Orlovsky was saying they didn't listen to his eyes.
Yeah.
He's great with his eyes, but the Niners weren't listening to his eyes.
Were you going
to
steal that and I stole it first?
Yeah, I was so jealous, man.
Not watching his eyes, listening to his eyes?
Yeah, they were not listening to... The eyes were telling them something, and the Niners weren't listening to them.
His lying eyes. Yes. They did not fall for his lying eyes. As Whittingham talks about perspective, and as Homer Cody doesn't fall far from the tree...
What are you doing today, Dan? You ripping to it? You think he stinks?
No.
Like I'm just a person trying to.
I like what Whittingham did. I do. I like that.
I'll go a step further and I'll tell you what I'm doing today, because there's only one play in that entire game that I want to talk about. The rest of it to me is just nonsense, noisy, one game samples. Anything can happen in that sport. Guys have bad games. There are interceptions thrown. One play and only one that matters to me. They were down 23-17. They had the ball in their own 19-yard line. It's 4th-and-1. On 3rd-and-1, they went long because they knew they were going for it on 4th-and-1. Because this coach believes he can get a yard on whomever, even if his offensive line is broken and even if their defensive line is great.
He got the yard.
That guy is believing in this quarterback, and I will trust that for years, even if they lose the rest of their games to finish 8-and-9. Even if they lose against the Chargers and lose against the Bills, as I expect them to lose against the Bills, because I think the Bills are better and they've suffered, they're on the first step of the journey toward where the Bills had been after 17 years of bad, got them to fix their fortunes the way the Lions have now some and the Cowboys have now some.
Yeah.
And the Dolphins did it in 1 year, 2 years. They sort of turned around what had been some pretty consistent mediocrity that wasn't quite Bill's bad of 17 years, no playoffs, but was relevant every year. You've got a quarterback and you've got a coach who trusts him. And you've got the next years of that. And that can lose at San Francisco because they can beat anyone when they're healthy. They can do that to any team in the league. But that drive ended with Gesicki in fourth and two. Bobbling the ball, replay overturned. Dolphins score there. And are we talking about 24-23 because the Niners didn't have a quarterback who could drive them down the field?
I mean, if Gesicki makes that catch, maybe the Niners have enough time to come down and score. But yeah, if Gesicki makes that catch, I feel like the Dolphins probably win that game. So,
regardless, though, my larger point is that happens in this league all the time. That's a good football team with a good quarterback and a good coach. And I've never seen a Dolphin coach in my lifetime so not fearful with his one chance that he goes for it like no coach in the league would in that spot. Fourth and one at his own 19. And the play before that, they threw deep because they knew they were going to go for it. Because the coach believed, and they threw for it on fourth and short. They didn't run for it with a tattered offensive line. This coach and this quarterback, they're going to be good together if Tua stays healthy. And I don't know if he can, because now Garoppolo's out for the season. Lamar Jackson's on the injury list. Walker's hurt too. Kenneth Walker. Like, I don't know if they're going to be healthy or what the analysis means. They could finish 8-9. And I'd still think this team is a success because of all of that.
Yeah, I was encouraged. Like, I know people are taking their shots at Tua. You know, what'd we tell you? Go on the road, play against a tough defense. I thought Tua was fine. I thought he was good. I think Whittingham makes a great point. He had some drops. One interception was not his fault. One was. It was a really bad throw.
The first one, the receiver fell in front of the ball.
He's also throwing into triple coverage in a soft zone. So.
Yeah, but he does that quite a bit.
Right.
He'll throw. He trusts his arm and accuracy that way. He often throws into windows where I'm like, don't throw in there. That's double coverage.
Yeah. I mean, they shut down Waddle. Their defense played very well. Christian Wilkins is just a beast. He really is. He is so good.
I felt bad for Juwan Jennings that got hit from behind by Wilkins. He was chased down from behind
10
by
yards.
Christian Wilkins.
Yes. On the sideline.
And he lands on top
terrifying.
Of him. Like, that should not be allowed. Football shouldn't allow for that size of man to hit that
Did
size of man.
Did we all have that reaction on that play? Where there's a football player running down the field on a sideline, and we're all scared for him on behalf of Christian Wilkins is bringing up the rear, and that's going to really hurt a lot when it lands on you at that rate of speed.
He's just so fast.
He's so good.
He's so fast for a defensive tackle. It's crazy. I do want to get back to your point, though, about Mike McDaniel going for it on that fourth and one, because for whatever reason, I don't know what it was, if it was just because Brandon Staley has moved the Overton window on what is acceptable to go for, but it feels like Brandon Staley got way more shit than Mike McDaniel or any other coach does this year for doing crazy things on fourth down, because that was wild.
Whitty,
you're down six.
Whitty,
you're down six. You have all your timeouts against Brock Purdy.
Whitty, this is what I loved about the decision, and I would have loved it even if he had failed. This dude with his first chance is saying, bring me all that criticism. I'm not afraid. Like, I don't care. Bring me all the Staley. I believe in this quarterback. I believe in this team. I believe we can get a yard on two downs if we're inside our own 20.
He knows exactly what happens if he doesn't get it. He knows he's questioning. You're right. It's a rookie coach doing it without any thought.
Nobody cares about the consequences. And it might even be dumb.
Right.
And also bleep off. He's not afraid.
The problem with Staley is he did it a bunch of times and they didn't make it. I mean,
right. I think the only difference between Staley and McDaniel is that McDaniel's offense gets the fourth down most of the time. And in that spot, they got it. Even though Tua made the third best decision there, he could have run it, thrown it to Alec Ingold for a yard, or thrown it downfield to Tyreek. But that's like, that's a mentality
Tyreek's
you're talking
a good
about.
Option, though, man.
Whitty,
with,
he had three options to get the first down from a fearless coach on third and one who threw deep. Like, please play like that.
Whitty, I don't want that guy running the ball. I know he could have ran for it. He probably would have gotten it easily.
Just get 2 yards and slide, man.
I don't want that guy getting tackled anymore, Tua. I'm worried about his head. I am. Like, I'd rather him make the throw to Tariq. It was
fun.
Yeah,
earlier, too, where it looked like his knees gave out, which scared me quite a bit. Yeah.
Well, tell me what happened here with Bart Scott and Tua Non, where there were petitions going around about trying to cancel Bart Scott because he's saying that Tua is one hit away from playing baseball like Pat White, which is not funny or clever, or it stinks. But you can say that about anybody playing football, and now Tuanon wants to cancel Bart Scott for being just maximum dopey Bart Scott.
Just for being Bart? That's what he said.
But I thought he said something worse, like Tua might be paralyzed. He just said he might be out of football with his next hit, and I think we all kind of are afraid of that. Are we not?
Yeah, more so with him, though, just because of the very public nature of some of his concussions and some of his injuries dating back to college. So the injury narrative around Tua is a fair one.
Cancel culture has gone too far if we're canceling celebrities as not famous as Bart Scott. I'm sorry. This is just true. Like, we can't cancel Bart Scott.
I also think the worst was said when the doctor you had on said that Tua should charge the Dolphins with murder.
If he had died. Not
even Tuanon would be aligned with that, though, because it was very defensive of Tua. That's where I'm not sure so much.
The doctor you had on is how Stugat stands by my side.
So, we had on. I'm sorry. Yeah,
I had on. The doctor I had on who, yes, wanted to charge the Dolphins with murder if he had died, and we all would have if he had died.
It's really refreshing to hear a moral victory Monday in a game in which you led on the road very early on. That was a really impressive touchdown.
First play of the game.
You fought back.
Did not know Sherfield was that fast.
Really, really, really appreciating the moral victory. I mean, you lost with a third-string quarterback that was Mr. Irrelevant, and you're out here really happy with how today went because someone went for it on fourth and one. So congratulations to you. It seems like a pretty big loss that you caught, though, when it comes to the playoff chase.
Massive. Yeah, and I think when you're talking about Brock Purdy, like, again, Tua had a bad game, which is a relevant fact. I don't think him having a bad game means he's a bad quarterback. Like, we can sort of unwind the every single performance of Tua is narrative-based. It's just he had a bad game. He really hurt the Miami Dolphins. But also, when Brock Purdy comes into the game and you cannot defensively figure out a way to make his life difficult other than throwing a zero blitz at him, which Kyle Shanahan can figure out in five plays, was kind of a pretty dumb defensive plan. And the idea that they were sort of able to move the ball fairly simply was really tedious, especially when Debo was not 100% and Christian McCaffrey came into the game nursing an injury and yet was awesome in the game when he's really the only player you had to stop.
That was an interesting tactic of, oh, we're just going to engage eight this guy. And it's like, yeah. Even I was sitting on my couch saying, they should probably do a screen right now.
But let me ask you guys this question, though, because perhaps Mike is right on this. If you want to turn every Monday into a hyperventilation, yes, it's big in the standings because all these teams are kind of 7-4 or 4-7, and Garoppolo's now out for the season. And yes, you do get hope at 23-17, they're playing with their backup quarterback. My point is that I'm not looking at this season. You could talk Super Bowl all you want. Stugatz has said it. Greg Cody has said it. Tua has said, I'm not afraid of Super Bowl. That would be a fairly massive leap for this team, and it doesn't change what I'm telling you, which is in a game with stakes like those standings, they've still got a coach who believes in that quarterback, who gave you three options on fourth and one and went for it because he wasn't afraid of the standings, the stakes, or, and I will say this again, that this is his first chance at this. And he's not afraid anyway with the biggest job he's ever had.
Right, but I didn't really glean much from that. I was a little surprised when it happened, considering the scenario, considering they're going up against Brock Purdy. Maybe trust the defense a little bit more, but I entered that game feeling great about the Dolphins coaching situation. I think this season will ultimately be defined by this road string, and it got off to a bad start. That game was there to be had. I understand the Dolphins have been injured. The San Francisco 49ers have been injured for three consecutive seasons. And they found a way to get a big victory.
Aren't you thrilled if you go through this stretch as a Dolphin fan of these three games, 1-2?
Thrilled? No.
No.
If you split the next two? I mean, no. Now you have to.
Jimmy Garoppolo left the game in the first quarter.
Okay, Woody.
7-3.
You were encouraged 5 minutes ago. What's the matter with you?
No, I mean, I wasn't encouraged. It was cool. It was cool that like Mike McDaniel went for it on fourth and one. I think Tua is good, but he had a bad game yesterday, and he really hurt the Miami Dolphins. That second interception was appalling. It was a 6-point or what was it, a 3-point game at that point.
Right.
He's rolling out to his left. He's got to throw a 5-yard pass to Tyreek Hill
on the run. He's terrible at that. But that like, is not just, like yesterday. That's always. I mean, he just can't throw on the run.
Okay, throw on the run 20 yards downfield is one thing.
Don't throw,
throw a 5-yard pass to Tyreek Hill. I mean, Jesus.
It was a terrible throw with the game on the line.
Right, and so you have these moments where they could come back and win, and then it just got away from them. And also, he had an ankle injury after the game. That's not terribly encouraging going forward. But defensively, they've had issues all season, and this incredible offense has masked that. We haven't had the conversation about, well, Brian Flores left behind his defensive coordinator. Maybe Brian Flores was a defensive coordinator because this guy doesn't appear to know what he's doing very much. I would not be surprised if he doesn't come back next year. This defense is hurting the Dolphins right now, and they should have held them to 14 points yesterday. And it was honestly a huge let off for the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs, really, after they lost too, that the Dolphins didn't win yesterday. You have to think about getting home playoff games. You don't want to go on the road to Baltimore or to Kansas City.
Baltimore, get out of here.
No, man.
I don't want to hear about Baltimore.
You're 8-3 and you're playing Brock Purdy. I get if you lose to Herbert or you lose to Josh Allen on the road. You're playing Brock Purdy for three quarters.
You've
it
just
has
been
to be a win.
Waiting. You've just been waiting.
I think he enjoyed yesterday's results. I do. I mean,
Whittingham, I'm having trouble with some of what's happening here because, and you are not wrong about what you're saying. And Mike's not wrong either about that's their backup quarterback. You keep telling us you're an elite team. Just go ahead and drag them.
But we are now armed with one of the results of this three-game
trip. Right.
So now you're telling me you wouldn't take a split over the next two?
You guys, for over a month, were beating up on really bad teams.
Yeah, that's how the NFL works. You beat up on the bad teams, you go 500 against the good teams, and you make the playoffs.
Boom.
Okay, I understand how the NFL works, but after a month of hyperventilation about this offense, and you edged out the Lions, you edged out the Bears, your offense looked good, but this was a true test, and you did not pass it.
But, Mike, they are two games clear of the Patriots. They're going to make the playoffs.
But
Stugatz, two games up on the Patriots.
Let's entertain.
They lose the next two games?
Well, if they lose to the Chargers, that's problematic.
Okay.
I give you that. Because the Chargers are 6-6, so that would, you know, two games.
Let's entertain what Mike is saying, though, because if the back row is preaching perspective, even as Whittingham says, and you got to beat the backup quarterback, the first four games of the season, we said the schedule was hard. They went 3-1 through it. We said the middle part of the schedule was 6 or 7 or 8 easy quarterbacks. They lost a couple of the games because Tua was hurt and Bridgewater had to play.
Right.
If I told you going into December before this season, and now you're headed into this stretch of Buffalo, Chargers, Niners on the road, you guys are all saying they're coming. The best they're doing there is 1-2 through December because you don't believe in this team. They've changed all of that. But you expect them to go in there and be competent. That's a 12-game culture change on we're suing for racism and Tom Brady and Stephen Ross doesn't know what he's doing. That's, to me, I'm looking organizationally at what wins for years and its value at quarterback with people who know how to work around him and they'll figure out a defensive coordinator. Like they're in the first year of overhauling the whole thing. You've gotten so much through 12 games that you're now, and give me more. Beat those guys who were 6 minutes away on the Chiefs and nobody wants to face them because everyone knows, oh my God, Deebo Samuel is going to run you into the ground and it's McCaffrey and they're tougher than everybody else. Everybody knows that. Like that the Niners are appreciably tougher than other teams, and that's exactly the kind of way they'd win the Super Bowl and everybody would hate it. Just grinding you to dust and ruining the game.
But you highlighted yet another thing. Potentially, this team might have to go on the road and play a team like Tennessee, who's very physical. And all the chatter about this matchup going in that everybody was excited for is Miami is built for speed, but compared to the San Francisco 49ers, they are a finesse team. What is that going to look like? And yeah, we can all sing the praises of San Francisco, super impressive. We all love the head coach, but sometimes it looks like Tennessee, and it could be a very similar game there. You now, with dropping that result, have yourself in a situation where you may have to go on the road and beat a physical team. And I think a lot of those same problems, granted, they weren't healthy, but the problems on the offensive line when it comes to health, that's been the story all season long. You'd be a fool to not expect it come playoff time.
Right, and you have both offensive tackles out yesterday in Austin Jackson and Teron Armstead. Stugatz mentioned that Waddle was sort of shut down. He was hurt, and he is very obviously hurt trying to give it a go out there. But You're right. And I think I know that it's very difficult to sort of switch your expectations because they've been bad for so long. But Cincinnati, I think, has pretty quickly recalibrated their expectations. And last year when they're in the playoffs, when Joe Burrow has a good year, it's not about, wouldn't this be fun? Oh, once you get to a certain point, it's like, all right, we can do
and
this.
That's fair.
And the Dolphins got to that point this year.
And Whittingham and the Bengals spent 30 years not trying to win in the league so they could get Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow and finally, being the cheapest team in football, could finally hit at a couple positions. And now, yes, Ja'Marr Chase is so great that when he comes back, it looks like that. And they challenge the Chiefs. But organizationally, they've been a disaster, a cheap one, for 3 years, 30 years, where they tolerated Marvin Lewis being just okay and the red rifle running out there.
Ah, he was great.
They didn't actually care about winning. And finally,
times
the league has paid off. What was Ja'Marr Chase doing yesterday? Was he raining money in the face of a Chiefs defensive back who got paid this offseason? Is that what he was doing, what he got flagged for, making it rain because he was taunting? What happened with Sauce Gardner and Justin Jefferson yesterday, Stu Gatz, like in the back and forth between them?
They were going at it, Dan. I you know what? I'm glad you brought up the Jets because I have to apologize to my fan base. And to the Jets, I let the defense down. I did. I did one of these things, Dan. It's called drive away and pray. Because the game was not going my way. I couldn't watch it anymore, so I drove away and I prayed. In this particular case, I was in a golf cart. I went and played a few holes of golf. And what you do when you drive away and pray, Dan, is you don't look at the score for a good half hour. You just go play a couple of holes of golf. You ignore the game. You act like it's not happening. Then you go to your phone and you check the scoreboard. And I did that. And the Jets were coming back. Not only were they coming back, they were driving in for a score that would have given the Jets the lead and likely given the Jets the game.
That game was amazing.
What a sacrifice you made.
I drove away. Here's the problem.
Check the score.
I checked the score.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't resist driving home.
Is that Amin?
Hey, Amin.
Amin, hell of a contribution from you. Clearly, you. Just waking from bed here where...
But I needed it. Thank you, Amin. Yeah. And so anyway, I drove back home, closer to home, and I'm texting my wife. I'm like, it's working. And Abby's like, stay away. You said you were going to drive away and pray. Stay away. Stay mm-hmm. away. I'm not giving you any updates. I said I checked my phone. I needed to go back and watch. And when I went back and watched, bad things started happening. So that one's on me. If I had stayed away, I am convinced the Jets win that football game. I could not resist. I wanted to see Mike White announce himself. I did. I needed to see it. I wanted to see it. As soon as I got back in there, everything went to shit. So I am sorry to the Jets. Sorry to the defense. Sorry to Rob Saleh. That one's on me, boys.
What's the story from the Bible where they're leaving and it's just don't turn around and then the wife turns around?
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, the pillar of salt. That's what Stu Gatz did. He turned around.
Yeah.
You looked at it. You're not supposed to look at it.
So bad. So bad. I'm sorry.
I'm in a very Bible mood.
Who leaves in the middle of their team playing a close competitive game on the road?
It wasn't close when I left. That's the point.
You have 17 teams.
Right. Yeah.
I've never watched a single football game.
Coming and going. Who knows with you?
I just am always leaving.
Well, what are the rules here? Because I think it's fairly appalling what Stu Gatz has just said, and I don't think a lot of people would say that.
If your team is struggling, you got to change it up, for sure.
I had to.
But to go not watch game, you got to change it up by not watching the game.
He's bullshit. He had a tea time.
Yeah. No. This was at 20-3. I'm like, this is a complete disaster. And so I drove away and I prayed. Like Chris is saying, Whittingham is saying, oh, such a close game. It wasn't a close game. That's why I drove away.
So you're saying you gave up on the game. You weren't trying to change the format.
I was trying to mix things up. Yeah, that's all.
You're misunderstanding.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
What do you mean I'm misunderstanding?
He's telling you that the game wasn't going right.
Yeah.
Clearly, something wasn't happening the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And the factor that he had the most control over was his own presence. He can't change the coverages.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
But
thank
he
you.
Can't go out there and catch a ball.
Reach.
What he can do is drive away and pray.
Yep.
So that's what his contribution. And it was working until he decided, I don't want to do what's best for the team anymore.
Correct.
Got selfish. Yes. That's what happened.
Yeah.
Disease of me.
I mean, 27-22, Dan, and they're driving. I mean, that's when I turned the phone back
on. That game was so good at the end.
I'm not even joking, though. I do this, Stugatz, when the Steelers are having a close game.
Of course.
Like yesterday, I didn't drive away or pray, but I just turned the game off. I watched the Commanders-Giants game instead.
Oh. Right. Oh.
I didn't watch the end. I knew the Steelers were going to give up a late touchdown. They did. I didn't know if they'd come back and win or not. They eventually did. But I was like, I don't want to have anything to do with this. If I watch it, something bad's going to happen. Yeah. I'm going to watch this stupid Giants game.
Yeah.
Because my stupid boyfriend.
Really disappointed in myself. I mean, I'm 0-1 this year, Dan. Listen, unlike Zach Wilson, at least I can acknowledge when I let my team down. And yesterday, I let my team down. So I'm sorry. I just wanted to apologize to the Jets.
It's called accountability, Dano.
Yeah.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer. Howdy, folks. It's Mike Ryan. I'm living the gimmick right now. The playoffs have already gotten me, and we're a couple of days into it. It's like a playoff equinox that's going on right now. It's ridiculous. And if you're like me, you like rooting on your team. Trust me, I just bought 3 for my wife, daughter, and myself for game 1. I live it. Because I've been out there. I've been out in those streets. I've been panicking last second trying to find deals. And then when I eventually settle on something, I'm not sure if it's the lowest price out there. And I'm getting just totally blitzed with surprise fees. Well, thankfully, Game Time takes it out of the equation. All the fees are up front. There's no surprises. You get to see what your seat looks like. It's amazing the technology we have these days. But Game Time has your back always. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app right now, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute deals, lowest price, guaranteed.
Don Levitard.
Stugatz, if you give him the choice, Stugatz, you can have the very same thing one of two ways. You could get it honestly, or you could steal it. He'll always choose stealing it.
Stugatz.
Well, it's the quicker path. I mean, it's just, you know.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
Represented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
I was really bummed to discover that game did not go to pens.
20-20, you got your beloved tie, Stugatz. It's exactly the game.
Tie.
It's exactly the game the Commanders and Giants should play.
Oh, I'm so pissed off at that tie. The NFC playoff race is already confusing enough as
no,
it is.
No, watch
now we
this.
Now we got two ones hanging off the end of the column.
Mike,
no.
Help me with this because I don't know which is the better division, if it's the AFC East or the NFC East. But I think the third best team in the AFC East is better than the third best team in the NFC East, because the Commanders and Giants are both that. They deserve to tie for the rest of the season. Go away, both of you. Get out of here. Get out of here with all of that. All that 1917, get it out of my life.
That was a good game.
Can I just keep Taylor Heinicke with 7 minutes left to play?
He's great.
Because like Terry,
first 3.5 quarters have let that happen. But Brian Daboll also, we should just have a Daboll cam on the Giants sideline. He always is doing something funny. I don't, even if he's mad, it's funny. He's just always doing
something
kind of
cute. Which is the better division? Which is just quality of team? The Patriots are the worst of the bunch in the AFC
East. I can't pick the one with the Jets, even though they're actually good. They're still the Jets.
You have two teams in the NFC East that I think legit could win the Super Bowl, right?
Well, like, you got one in the AFC
East
that everyone thinks can legit win the Super Bowl in the Bills. And
Maybe the Dolphins.
No, I don't. You and Cody are the ones out there on the Dolphins.
We're fine with that. I mean, the Jets aren't winning it. The Giants aren't winning. But you're saying the Jets are better than the Giants, part, is what you're
the
saying.
The part I'm asking you, yes, the Jets are better than the Giants and have a better future than the Giants as well, even without somehow a quarterback.
So are the Dolphins better than the Cowboys?
I don't think so.
No, but the Cowboys scored 33 points unanswered in the fourth quarter yesterday. They put up a 50.
Chris, you had a direct quote, right, that I'm never worried. I know that we're scoring at least 30 points every game, right? That's what you said?
I mean, look, man, the offense looked like that early on in the season. I've kept perspective about this Dolphins team. I never said they were better than the Bills. I've always said that the easy schedule, they're going to get a record. Like, I think the Dolphins are right where I thought they were.
Let me.
Like a 4 or 5 seed this year. Let's make the playoffs. We'll go on the road, get our feet wet. I'm having fun. I'm not going to let any of you tell me
attaboy.
I should be panicking right now. The Dolphins are having a great season right now. I am looking forward to next Sunday night.
Okay.
And we're like, what do you, like, you just want me to cry here? Like, they lost. They didn't play good.
I'm telling,
it's okay.
I don't understand why it is that Mike Ryan is running me off the point of even if they lose the rest of their games to finish 8-9 because whatever, we don't measure the injuries enough and it matters that their offensive linemen are hurt.
But Dan, if they go 0-9 the rest of the way, McDaniel will not be able to go for it on four. Like he has that luxury to do what he did yesterday because they're 8-3.
Okay, and what I'm telling you is, I want that shaping the future of what my team looks like as the Jets now become this thing, Stugatz, where Sauce Gardner is saying after the game, nobody slows Justin Jefferson. He got slowed yesterday. He had 45 yards. It was Tyreek Hill's 1 yard ahead of Justin Jefferson on "You'll Never Stop Me, I'm one of the most proficient receivers there's ever been." Sauce Gardner said after the game, "I was in his shit all game. He got that one route on me."
Well, I mean, that one route is the difference between winning and losing.
Okay.
But I understand.
But he's just saying, "I was in his shit all game," saying that to the best receiver in the sport. And Justin Jefferson's response was, "In what shit? You can't talk having safety help. Call me when your coach trusts you to go one-on-one."
I mean, he had 7 catches for 45 yards.
That is slowing Justin
Jefferson.
That
is slowing him down. He didn't have a touchdown.
If I'm playing against Justin Jefferson, you tell me before the game, he's going to have 7 catches for 45 yards and 1 touchdown. I'm like, yes, sign me up. He's the only reason Cousins is good.
Right. And Sauce was not on him the entire game. And I wouldn't put Sauce one-on-one with Justin Jefferson. I wouldn't put anyone one-on-one with Justin Jefferson.
But I didn't
know. You need help when you're guarding that guy.
I didn't know Justin Jefferson could actually be held to 45 yards.
Did you, speaking of cornerback wide receiver showdowns, I thought the best one was actually DK Metcalf and Jalen Ramsey yesterday.
So good.
The Fox broadcasts were all over it.
So good.
Jalen Ramsey sometimes zass plays zone and not follow a receiver. So anytime DK Metcalf would go in motion, he'd basically signal to him, "Hey, come follow me," and taunt him. They have a bit of an exchange. A penalty is called on DK Metcalf for taunting, but then
Ramsey loves, right? Yeah. Ramsey exists to get that penalty.
But you see how they win the game. Throw to DK Metcalf on Ramsey. It was just an incredible battle.
Geno Smith, man. Mm. Every single week. Like, I keep waiting for it to stop.
Mm-mm.
It's not stopping. 367 yards, 3 touchdowns, and that throw. That throw to win the game. How the hell is this happening? He's the MVP. He's the MVP simply because he had no shot at winning the MVP before the season started. You could say Mahomes, you could say Josh Allen, you could say Joe Burrow, you could say any of these guys. But from where Geno Smith came from to where he is right now, holy bleep. Like, why wouldn't you give him the MVP? Guy's been through 10 years of shit, and here he is throwing dimes all over the field.
There is an award for going through 10 years of shit, right? Do they have comeback player
that
of the year
be,
in
no,
the NFL?
They should create a new award for Geno Smith that is just a
shit
comeback player from 10 years of all of us were idiots about you, man. We're sorry. We're fools. Like, we all got it wrong in the analysis of Geno Smith.
Presented by Cordero Patterson.
He was famous for getting punched by a teammate in the face as a Jet. There's sound somewhere of Stugatz just railing against Geno Smith and saying that he should be benched. And the Jets ran him into the ground. And what would that award be called? The 8 years off. Like, all of you off award. The whole league, right? Not just
Tom Brady award.
This is different, though, Mike. This is, I mean, 8 years I've done nothing. He's thrown more touchdowns this year than the last 7 years combined.
You typically don't get to stay in the league when it's been that long.
That is correct. And I just ask you, though, as yesterday, Stugatz, because if you saw this, Mike Ryan was doubting the Bengals, and I was right there with him. But yesterday, as they beat the Chiefs for the third time, and all of us, I think, would say, hey, that's the only way you beat the Chiefs. I know the Bucs did it in the Super Bowl when their offensive line was wrecked. But the only way the Chiefs are losing games is at the end, oh, no, they lost by 3 points because the other team was really great at offense.
Yeah.
But we all know the Chiefs are great.
They are great.
And the Bengals yesterday.
They're great, too.
Watching that game, yes, with Jamar Chase, they're great. Because, Stugatz, what would happen is, oh, holding Bengals, first and 20. And here's 7 yards, second and 13. And here's 7 yards, third and six. And here's first down. And it doesn't matter what you're throwing at Burrow, pressure right in his face. Those two wide receivers are as good as there are. They're two number ones.
Right. I had the drop from Boyd yesterday, and he's their third wide receiver.
Awful drop.
Worst Did
drop
you of the see se- that
that's
pass?
The worst
that,
Mike, that's that the worst one of the season. I'm
the
sorry,
worst
right?
of the season. Like, I don't know. Like, Joe Burrow was amazed that he – they were all amazed that he dropped that ball, yeah. But it happened.
Evans had a bad one against Carolina.
But did you see that 11-yard pass to end the game
by Joe
Burrow?
Yeah, to end the game. To play keep away. God. Incredible throw.
Dan, I'll tell you –
That's how you beat the Chiefs, by the way.
Yeah.
It's just – Just
Joe Burrow.
Travis Kelce fumbles, and you play keep away the entire time. Because if Patrick Mahomes was getting that ball back, he was winning that game.
I'll tell you what. I think I'll take Joe Burrow, and you can choose any other quarterback, and I'll feel good about my chances. And I'm including Patrick
Mahomes.
Why are
you doing that? Oh, no, yeah. Stugatz.
No, Dan, there is something about that guy.
I care about you.
I am doing it, and I don't care. Joe Burrow will win more Super Bowls when his career is over than Patrick Mahomes.
No.
How about that? Put it in quotes. Do whatever you want with it. I will take that guy, okay? I would. I'd take him over any quarterback in the NFL. He has beaten Patrick Mahomes three consecutive times now. Sometimes he doesn't have an offensive line. Sometimes Chase isn't there. Yesterday, Mixon wasn't there. What does he keep doing? Beating Patrick Mahomes. Once in the AFC Championship game, two times in the regular season. I love Joe Burrow. I do. I wish I had Joe Burrow just once. Once in my lifetime, a quarterback like Joe Burrow.
The Bengals navigated the Jamar Chase injury quite well. They went 3-1, and now they enter a difficult month. They host Deshaun Watson and the Cleveland Browns next. Joe Burrow famously has never beaten the Cleveland Browns in his career.
Watson was booed yesterday. It was terrible.
He was awful.
And awful because I would assume we underestimated this one, even though, I mean, Jesus Christ, like... Going that long without playing sports, it would just be hard to physically come back and keep up with the speed of things, I would imagine.
That Texans D.
I don't think it was that so much. It looked like
he was way off.
A lack of competence. Like just with the quarterbacking has gotten so good over the last 3 or 4 years that when a guy is hugely inaccurate, you're like, whoa, that was weird. Correct?
Didn't look great in preseason.
He
appeared.
Well, Dan, were you surprised? Because you're always talking about when you drop a guy in who hasn't played for a long time, it's going to take a minute, right?
He
looked very inaccurate.
But he was booed. He was...
And in Houston, who really, outside of... I mean, it's not to be overlooked what he did, but for that franchise, if there was one place where he wouldn't get booed, it might be Houston.
He's going on a tour now of... hostility wherever he arrives, correct?
Yes.
He deserves it. I'm surprised more players haven't spoken out on that. Like, I'm glad that he's gonna, like, that's the very least he can get is just booed everywhere.
Discomfort.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, at the very least, that's what he deserves. Shit.
You're saying even at home, he's headed towards booze.
I don't think at home because in Cleveland, they're sort of proudly rabid in the way America's divided now, where you just take the other side on whatever.
Everybody left already jumped off the ship. Anybody that's still there is going to cheer him.
But what I'm saying is that could be a sports epicenter for some of the conflicts in the countries in the country where people are elbowing each other for space, and it's black people fighting and Jews and
I think they're just rooting for laundry in this case.
And women, you don't think it's take the other side and divided America?
No, I think that no, I don't. I think that it's a lot what's happening when the big three Heat were down here, the whole national media, or what happens with the Patriots when ESPN, they feel gangs up on them. It's just, all right, bleep you.
Just sports?
Yeah, it's just sports. Yeah, I don't think it's a microcosm of what's going on in America.
I do think I think there's an element of asshole politics, like that. Like there are people who sort of are attracted to just poking their thumb in the eye of people who want to change the society and want to move our values in a different way. And there are people who just are rebelling against that and get behind things like Deshaun Watson or Kyrie Irving or things like that until it's no longer palatable.
I think you're conflating politics with the strongest force on this planet, which is a white male refusing to admit he's wrong.
Now, if somebody is a new Browns fan, if somebody became a Browns fan because of this, then it's probably what Woody's talking about. Like, if you were a Browns fan,
they got a new fan,
right? Like, if you're like, oh, now I'm rooting for the Browns.
If you're newly a Cleveland Browns
about.
Fan, I mean, reserve the right to judge you.
For?
But what that's what, like, Woody, you don't think there's
hey,
Dan?
I was out on the Browns people, this whole time, but now
to Woody's point, the people out there that are just so against all this entire movement, I bet you there are maniacs out there that are like, oh yeah, the Browns are my team now.
All right, great. And just
no,
like
but Chris is right.
Okay, I mean, like, you can dismiss but
what
we're
I'm
talking
saying
about
is
the...
it's just sports reflecting society where you'll find the percentages of branches of people who will defend anything, like no matter how, like universally by consensus repugnant.
I'm sorry, the people who are showing up to the stadium are not like the people on Twitter, like, hey, you know, it's messed up what they did to him. Those people aren't shelling out money to go to games.
Did you see that there's been like, and their tailgates, there's people like a kid there. I've seen some horrific Browns fans doing stuff where I forget
Browns
the exact, they had
that's
like
exactly,
a, they
that's
had
what a, it is. They're Browns fans.
Dude, you don't think any, you're going to put this on Browns fans?
I'm saying
fan base,
that
there would
someone
be
who lives in like Las Vegas is not flying to Cleveland. So, oh my God, I got to support this guy because they did him dirty.
But I mean,
they're tweeting and they're,
I know,
they're,
but,
they're,
but there's a significant difference between like what Mike said, which is I'm still going to root for this laundry because I always have, versus actively defending and showing up to tailgates and demonstrating shows of support or downplaying what happened here.
I think there are places, like Dan said, where people double down on their laundry. Double and triple down. Places that...
I think they double down on being assholes.
Yeah, but of course. But again, part of being an asshole, part of that equation is... I'm from here and everybody hates us and I'm not going to let them. That's all they care about. That's all they care about.
If sports are identity politics, then these are regional politics. Like it is. They become your team because whatever. It's us against them. Everyone thinks we're assholes. They don't understand us.
They get so upset when I say, I hate going to Cleveland. Right during the finals, I'd say, "Oh my God, we got to go to Cleveland again." They would get so upset, and I'm like, "Why are you upset? What's so great about Arizona?" Like, I don't give a shit if you like it or not. I live here. I like it. You don't like it. It's cool. But for them, any criticism of the city or of the team is tantamount to a criticism of them. If it's so bad, then what's wrong with me? Right.
A lot of their identity is tied up.
It's all wrapped into that. And so, yes, obviously, it takes a specific kind of asshole to lean that far into not only Deshaun Watson, you know, got railroaded, but also give me a massage or whatever, you know, like the stupid ass shirts.
Yeah, those shirts.
Right? Like, obviously, that's a specific kind of asshole. But the ones who are going and materially supporting, the number one thing on their list is they're Browns fans. If this dude played for the Raiders, none of those people give a shit. Now, the people in Las Vegas or in Oakland who love the Raiders have that segment of their population were assholes who would be the ones leaning in. But this isn't like a movement across the country of Deshaun Watson's great. It's some asshole Browns fans.
The whole thing with Deshaun Watson was kind of bizarre. I'm sure the Browns kind of enjoyed kind of the quiet lack of news surrounding this game. Mm-hmm. It was barely hyped. There wasn't a lot of discussion. Granted, there's a lot of things going on in sports, but it flew under the radar.
No, but that phrase is important. Granted, there's a lot of things going on in sports. Like, you realize where this gets buried. Oh, Browns aren't good enough to be that kind of relevant. We're going to make it about the games again, not the crimes. And it's easy enough for the broadcasters to help there because they're willing to skip back. Did anyone talk during the Cowboys game about the Jerry Jones photographs? Like, is there?
I don't know. I didn't watch it. I'm not watching the Colts on primetime. I'm sorry.
It's a good game going into the fourth, but I mean,
it was. I saw the final score. It didn't seem like it was.
No, the Cowboys scored 33 points in the fourth
10
quarter.
10 minutes, right?
Wow. Yeah.
I'm sorry, man. I'm still recovering from all these early start times.
It did make me think, though, that, you know, Cooper Rush, Jeff Saturday, this sport is so unreasonable that three or four games in, we'll make all sorts of assessments that are stupid. And the Browns aren't relevant enough. Jacoby Brissett lost just enough for them to be able to sneak in yesterday in a game that none of us cared about, because who cared about the results of Browns Texans?
They were all super excited. I still follow a lot of Browns Twitter, and the victory over the Bucks in overtime set up this scenario in which Deshaun flies in and rescues them and carries them to the postseason by not losing another game. And it's all in their hands, and they play an opponent that in Joe Burrow that they've never lost to. So the vibes are good right now because Deshaun Watson played poorly and they had an easy dub.
It's hard to believe, Stugatz, that this dumb sport where guys can't stay healthy, like the Rams, they're just from one season to the next, you're like, who's that playing quarterback for them? That guy's not big enough physically. He's running around like a Mac quarterback. Like, who is that back there? He doesn't have any arm strength.
I've learned a lesson this year. If there is a reigning Super Bowl champion and all they do the entire offseason is talk about retirement, fade them the next season.
Not a good sign.
It's okay. a bad sign.
This team just won.
I don't have a huge sample with it, but I feel confident that this is a big red flag entering the season going forward.
Aaron Donald, not so sure.
The coach,
not so sure.
Even Stafford, there was discussion. I'm telling you, next time there is a Super Bowl champion that goes all in for just a single championship and has zero draft capital left, and they all talk about retirement that offseason, I'm fading the out of him.
It all flamed out on McVay. McVay could have worked for Amazon, $200 million contract. Jeez. Boy wonder, come back to the sport whenever he wants. All of us saw, bleep them picks. Okay, now what? Oh my God, Goff looks good in Detroit. Stafford is physically broken.
And I'm stuck with John Wolford.
Wolford to Skoronek. It's Wolford to Skoronek.
He had Cup and
Sorry,
Beckham.
It's Skoronek. It's Skoronek, I'm sorry.
And it was a game late.
It's a fine.
Rhymes with colonic.
Yeah.
Rhymes with colonic?
Colonic. That's the way to remember how to pronounce it. It's called heuristics, Dan. Let me teach you something, right? Like, you got to go with a rule of thumb. And when you put that in your head, next time you see it, like, I know exactly how to say it. It's why I don't know how to pronounce the guy's name. Chris Falica, Falica. Like, I still don't know because I haven't created a heuristic for it. So I keep messing it up. Is it Falica or Falica?
The bear.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yeah! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.